witnessing the power of the resurrection. This morning, I'm going to deal with Peter and his life after the resurrection. So I'm going to turn to three different portions of Scripture, but I want to start there in Mark 16. If you need a Bible, there's probably a red book in front of you. You can grab that one and use that. Tell me when you got it. All right. Mark 16, starting with verse 6. And he said to them, "Don't be afraid, for you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, for he is risen." I said, "He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they've laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples." Now I want you to look at this next part. "And Peter, for he goes before you into Galilee, and you shall see him, just as he said unto you." Now as we deal in this part of the story of the resurrection, I'm going to get into that Peter's going to deny the Lord three times. Now how many in here, if you denied Jesus to his face three times, you'd feel miserable? How many be here like, "Oh man, my life's just about over"? And then all of a sudden that he dies and you see him die and never getting the chance to say, "Hey, I'm sorry." How many knows that adds to it? How many would think like, man, you'd be going home with that and you'd be feeling grief and all that? But notice here, the angel comes to the tomb. They look in and all of a sudden they say, "Hey, he's not here. Go tell his disciples and who?" Isn't it neat to know that even the angelic host know what's going on planet Earth? That on God's heart, they knew that this was a crushing blow to Peter, the denial. So even the angel saying, "And tell Peter." How many think that's something neat? That no matter what's going on, they have the heart of the Father and they care for us. Isn't that neat? That of all the people that he could have had, all the conversation that could be spoken, he calls out Peter personally. When I think about how much the Lord had to do after the resurrection, he tells the angelic host, "Make sure you tell Peter too." I think that's so neat. How many think that if you're in this room, he knows you by name? Turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Starting with verse 31. Tell me when you got it. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith does not fail, that when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said unto you, Lord, I'm ready to go both to prison for you and to die." And he said, "Peter, before the rooster crows this day, you're going to deny me three times." Verse 54, jump down there. "Then they took him and led him away and brought him to the high priest," talking about Jesus. "And Peter followed afar off. And there was a fire kindled in the hall, and he warmed himself there, and he sat amongst the people. Then a maid came by and said, 'Hey, look at him,' says, 'Aren't you with him?' And he said, 'Woman, I know not the man.' A little later, someone else came and said, 'Peter, aren't you there? Aren't you the guy that was with you?' 'No, I'm not he.' In about a space of an hour, another man came, which was a Galilean, says, 'Your speech betrays you. You were with him, for you're a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'I am not him.' And immediately the rooster crowed." Can you imagine now feeling that guilt? That you once had the testimony. Look at verse 61. "And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, that before the rooster crows, three times you'll deny me. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly." I have to say that I would feel pretty awful if that was me. That three times, "No, Lord, I'm ready to go." Remember, he cut off the high priest's ear, or the servant's ear in the garden. That he had great strength. And then God spoke a word to him, three times you're going to deny me before the rooster crows. Now, there's a lot of roosters here in the city. But, you know, I've lived with us in the place that we live now. This farmer has his roosters behind our house. And man, I tell you what, when they crow, if the window's open, you can hear them just like your alarm clock. Now, these stupid birds will do it at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, too. There's no rhyme and reason for their crowing. But can you imagine that? It's early in the morning, he's being betrayed, and now the rooster crows. And immediately, the word comes back to him. And now he went out and wept bitterly. When I look at Peter, many times he's just like all of us. In Luke 22, verse 31, notice it says, "Satan desires to sift you as wheat." This points back to like in the book of Job. Satan wanted to test Peter and shake him. to see if he can rock him off his faith. But Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. It's so important to know that if no one else has prayed for you, the Lord has prayed for you. But many times when you're going through a struggle or a hardship, it rocks your faith. And there are some times that we have to look at that and say, you know what? Don't let that take you away from the Lord. The Lord is always good regardless of our situation. He is always good. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. But Peter says this, the Lord says, Satan wants to sift you, but I prayed for you, Peter. During this time, Peter's going through that shaking. He's openly denied the Lord, and he feels miserable for him. But one day, Peter will be able to stand the test. Sometimes persecution, dangers, troubles, all this leads. But Satan's goal is to take you away from your faith, to lead to apostasy, and then you're gone. I wonder how many people have shipwrecked their faith because they went through a struggle. Instead of enduring through it, they depart from it. Isn't that giving Satan an advantage? It is. When we should buckle down, Peter's in that arena. He feels miserable. He's never had a chance to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I can say this would be a crushing blow. This is more than just a friend. You're talking about the Lord, the one you walk with him and talk with him. You ate with him. And now he says, you know what? I don't even know the man. And he curses it. And then he remembers and he wept bitterly. I have to say I'd be there too. Peter at this point is being sifted. He's going through a troubled time. But later on, I'll jump ahead. One day he's going to be a world changer. If you're taking notes this morning, number one, the resurrection will strengthen his faith. In verse 32 of Luke says this, 22:32, I have prayed for you that your faith fails not, and when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. God is going to prophesy a word into his life. Just like he said, hey, you're going to deny me, one day you're going to be strengthened. But I know this for a fact. When we're going through a struggle, it's hard to hear the encouraging words of the Lord. It's hard to hear that it's going to be different when you're in the situation. Is that true? Didn't he say, when you're converted, strengthen? How many of those, that's a hope word. That when you're converted, when you're become born again, when you're spirit-filled, strengthen your brethren. But when we're gloom and we're going through the emotions and we're hurting, it's kind of hard to hear that. But I want you to know that when Jesus looked at Peter on his third time denial, it wasn't to hurt him. It was to show him my word is true. He wasn't trying to damage his life. He was just saying, hey, listen to me. Didn't I say in 3 days I'm rising from the dead? Hear this. And since I already knew you were going to betray me, it didn't hurt me. How many knows it hurts you when you don't know it? When it comes by surprise. If you already know it, you're like, I already know what's going to happen. So he wasn't looking at Peter like, I want to destroy your life by the look. I wanted you to know that my word is true, and I already knew what you were going to do. In 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead, but I know this is hurting you, so I'm even going to tip off the angels to make sure they speak your name, that I'm going to come and find you anyways. But he says, after you've been converted, strengthen your brethren. I think we need to hear that. Sometimes we get such caught up in our circumstance, we can't hear anything good. Is this a good word? Listen, the resurrection needs to strengthen our faith. I said it needs to strengthen our faith. It isn't just on Easter time. We have to look at it and say, he is alive. It says this, notice your brethren. One day Peter will be in the same condition, just like all the other disciples. They will give their life for Christ. But this time they're not going to deny anymore. Peter's going to be an example for all those. He knows what it's like to deny. It's been written and recorded. All this is good. But Jesus always prophesies into your problem, you're going to be strengthened. You're going to overcome. Peter, when you do this in word and an example, you show it out. In the book of Acts, it clearly shows that he was living this out. Now, how many in here have ever been in a situation and you're like, man, I don't know if it's going to get any better. God speaks the word it's going to. But you really don't put it to practice. You heard it, but you're really not believing it. I shared with the first service. It is possible while this message is going on, your body can be here, but you're thinking something totally else somewhere else. How many want to be able to focus in a little more? There's always something in every service you can grab onto and sow in your heart. Listen to me. The message shouldn't make it to the parking lot, then we forgot what we've already learned. If we could retain even half of all the sermons that we had, we'd be unbelievable. But we have a small retention span, true? Then, Lord, teach me. Teach me your word. He's saying, Peter, when you're converted, I'm prophesying into your life. Strengthen your brethren. Oh, I denied the Lord. Oh, he did feel miserable. In the natural, that is a natural response. Number two, the resurrection removes painful memories. I said he removes painful memories. Too many times that when we deny, we live in that denial. We can't live up to the standard. Or I've done something, man, it's miserable. I want you to learn to forget your past too. Put it under the blood. Sometimes you make a mistake, and listen to me, maybe you had a temporary bonehead situation. Anybody ever been, you made a mistake, wish you could erase that? I mean, that's a reality. Well, I can't change that. You bear your own scars, but put it in the back. This denial isn't going to define Peter. The defining moment is you're going to be strengthening your brethren. You let God speak in that situation. For Peter, if the story would have ended there, I've denied him, I give up, I might as well just be over with. How many of us, that would be a sad ending? Well, in the natural, we have that. We walk in that. But when God's Spirit's at work, man, there's things change. Painful memories, listen to me, may be in your past, but listen, step over them and move through them. And the next thing is, don't let somebody else bring up your past so you have to relive it. Satan is always good at bringing up your past. But here's the truth. He doesn't want to bring up your hope and your future because he's not in it. Hallelujah. When's the last time Satan ever brought revelation like, I'm going to end up in the lake of fire burning forever and ever, never to see you again? How many knows he doesn't bring that to pass? He always brings up his own things. He brings up a lie. The third denial, listen to me, was difficult. All of a sudden the revelation came, the Lord told me, I remembered. But there's a bitterness with that. When I start to realize that everything the Lord done is good, then the bitterness needs to turn sweet. Then I need to turn this around. It's not like I have to say, no, that isn't true. No, it's true, but man, God has done a work. I don't need to know your deep, dark past. You have a hope in the future, amen? Now, if you need to unburden your heart, that's one thing, but truthfully, let's get it going and move on, amen? Let's have that area that God's done a work. Isn't that where the glory comes? Man, none of us are worthy. All of us have sinned, including the pastor. Wow, that's revelation. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But thank God we're not what we used to be. But we haven't arrived yet. But we're on that road, amen? We're on that road of restoration. I like things that are restored. I really do. I like when things are this way and they turn out better. Number three, if you take notes, the resurrection clears our eyes to see. In Luke 22, 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. His tears were for his own sorrow. But that tears can turn into being honored towards God. They can be refreshing. We can be sorry for our failures. That's one thing I share with the first service. Ladies can get over things faster than men because they can cry it out. And then when they pull it together, they move on from it. Where guys are like, they'll hold on to it longer and it lingers longer because they haven't dealt with it. Amen? How many of that, guys, sometimes you need to shed a tear. Get that out. And be honest. And you know what? I think ladies like humility. It doesn't take away from your strength. They like it when you can humble yourself and say you are wrong. Now, I remember one time I was watching this program. I think it was a movie called The Notebook. All right? And I was watching this show, and my wife was gone, and I'm watching it, and man, it got to this place, it's like, oh man, this is so good. My wife comes in the door, and goes, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I changed the channel. Nothing. She goes, what's wrong? I was watching this movie, and this is so touching. You go, sissy, what's wrong with you, right? But Peter went out and wept bitterly. Sometimes tears need to come to clear our eyes. Are you sorry for your failure? Then repent and move on from it. But don't keep being sorry for something God's forgiven you of. Because when He forgives, He removes it. And sometimes we're reminding the Lord of something that He's already forgotten about. He doesn't want to remember your sin when you ask Him. Isn't that cool? But Satan's always there saying, yep, did it. He's trying to turn this situation into something permanent. He's trying to crush Peter. And sometimes natural life things come upon like, man, didn't plan that, wham. But the Lord has a word. He cares about it. I'm going to speak into your situation. When we clear our eyes, we can see clearly. When I clear my eyes, I can see the speck that's in my brother's when I pull the telephone pole out of my own. My vision becomes a whole lot clearer. True? When you're crying, you can't see very good. I said, you can't see very good. Amen? I remember one time I felt so bad. I pulled up to this intersection. And you ever had those lights that seemed like it takes like 5 minutes to go through? And then you only get three cars and you got to wait another 5 minutes. Half your life's there at the light. I remember like we were pulling up. We like two or three cars went through the light every time. Like, oh. And I looked over and this lady was just bawling her eyes out. And it was just running down her face and her mascara, makeup, whatever you want to call it, was running. And I felt so bad. It's like, you know, can I help you? Can I pray for you? You know? And it's like every time she inched up, she'd wipe her eyes and she'd bawl again. I'm like, Lord, I don't know the situation, but touch her. Because it's hard to drive in that condition. Whatever the situation, touch, Lord God. For Peter, he cannot be a world changer. In fact, he can't even do much in his life the way he is feeling. He is miserable. He feels like he denied the Lord, and he did. But how many of us said, listen, the Lord knows. The story isn't over yet. He's weeped for himself, but listen to me. The church needs to weep over the lost. We need to weep in those arenas. We need to say, Lord Jesus, work in this world. Those tears are good. He who sows in tears will reap in joy. The church needs to be about our Father's business. So some tears are good, but not tears of sorrow. If tears lead you in repentance, that's good. But just because that you're staying in that condition of bitterness, that rots the bones. You stay bitter long enough, believe me, it affects your life. And we've all seen individuals who become bitter. You want them out of that. Number four, if you're taking notes, the resurrection awakes those who are asleep. Notice the rooster crowed and what happened. It popped in his mind again, the word. Now, the other day, we had these roosters behind us. I'm telling you, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was on a Saturday. I'm like, what's up with that? Maybe they're just making noise. But I have heard them at the crack of dawn, too, when the windows open. It seemed like it's a distinct sound. Do you know the Lord today is making a distinct sound? Wake up. He's saying, wake up. If you decide to pray with us for 24 hours, whatever time slot that is, then you make sure you set your alarm. If you set it for early in the morning, then you know you get out of bed and make yourself comfortable. Now, whatever works for you and your schedule is totally up to you. It doesn't matter to me. But every slot will be filled. The rooster crowing, listen to me, sometimes it needs to be a daily reminder. Hey, I need to cover my sins. There's no sin too great that God cannot blot it out. Amen. Romans 5 verse 20 says this. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. Number five, if you take notes. The resurrection allows for a greater calling upon our lives. For Peter, he'll become a shepherd. Now turn to John chapter 21. Gospel of John 21. He was a fisherman by trade. But God's going to do a new calling into his life. Now, no matter what your seed source is, no matter what your job is, the Lord's called us all to be world changers. He really has. You change this world in your heart, then the world outside becomes easier. Tell me when you got it. John 21, verse 15. Jesus now is at the seashore. And as they dined, Jesus said, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He says, yes, Lord. Then feed my lambs. Then a second time he asked, do you love me more than these? Notice the word here, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he said, Simon Peter, do you love me? And he was grieved in his heart because he said the third time, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know, now feed my sheep. Notice there's a threefold part here. It's a counterpart to what his denial was. Isn't that so cool? That he's going to cover all that. That Peter, now listen to me, do you love me? Notice it talks about sheep and lambs. Lambs are young sheep. Peter now is going to get a new calling upon his life. That you were once like this, but now I'm going to make you like this. You were once felt like you denied me, now you're going to preach this faith. Notice lambs are little sheep. They're little ones. Lambs require tenderness. They require nourishment. Feed my lambs. There's a distinction there. Sheep are fully grown, but lambs are babies. They're tender ones. Jesus is speaking the word, Peter, I want you to be able to take care of the tender sheep as well as the mature sheep. In this church, we need to be prepared. Now, age is irrelevant here. You can be a 50-year-old and still be a newbie. You can be 30 and be a mature sheep. How many of those ages are relevant on that part? But when it comes, Peter, I want you to be able to take care of the newbies, the young sheep, be tender towards them, and also the mature, feed them. He's saying, if you love me, listen to me, here's a calling I'm putting upon you. That once you felt like you denied me, but now I'm bringing you into this area. You're going to strengthen your brethren. Peter's now is going to be an example to all the other disciples of how to live it out. I think it's so awesome. Church, we need to be prepared for the tender sheep that are going to come in, as well as the mature sheep. We have to walk slow amongst them, and there's some areas there you have to deal with. Little guys make some mistakes. You work through that. But also the services need to be where the mature saints can have some solid food too. Now, my job is not to stuff you full. Your job is to feed yourself. You got to have your own diet of God's word. I'm just going to add to what you already have. Are you with me? If this is your only meal, you've starved yourself all week long. And how many knows that doesn't work either? You'll grow erratically. That's why just take a little portion of the word and sow it in there. Sooner or later, you get through a whole book. Everybody with me on that? Now notice, Peter, I want you to feed my tender ones. Take care of them that are like this. They're new. They may have made some mistakes. Peter made some serious mistakes. I wonder how many times he looked back and go, why did I cut that dude's ear off? Dude, that was kind of like, ooh, that was extreme. If you notice the narrative before this, it says when they saw Jesus, he actually jumped out of the boat and swam 100 yards. Why didn't he just wait till the boat pulled up to the shore? He had that type of life that whatever he meant, he got right into it. So God was going to even mature him in those things. That works sometimes, and sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes you got to be more mature in those arenas. You got to walk slow through the crowd. If somebody walks slower down the aisle because they have a little age, then just slow down for a minute. You miss a whole lot by walking too fast. Oh, I can preach that. You know what? Wisdom does come with some gray hair. Say amen. And if you don't have any hair, well, praise the Lord. We don't do two things. We don't talk about hair. We don't talk about weight. One you gain, one you lose, leave them both alone. Everybody with me on that? Just leave them alone. But what about the mature sheep? We also need to be mature. Mature sheep, mature people look for maturity too. They can overlook some things because they have the age, but we also have to have things available there. Now, here's what I call the pride zone. Between the newbies and the mature is the pride zone. Never feel like you've arrived, like you've heard it all. I know that. God can always teach you. And if you say, hey, I'm not being fed, you're probably full of self. Oh, man, I can preach that. Because there's always something to learn from the word. But if you have no appetite for it, believe me, you're full of something else. And I've been around long enough to know that's self. Oh, that's so unfair. That isn't nice. When people are tender in faith, we need to feed them spiritual substance to lead them to spiritual pastures. To help them, to guide them. But when they become mature, we need to offer true spiritual food. A baby food is good for a baby, but strained green beans, I am not eating out of that cup. Are you with me? I've tried some of those baby foods. I'm like, oh Lord, I'm glad you're eating it. Thank you, Lord. I know you need it. Amen. Applesauce is always good, praise the Lord. But if you ever put it in a microwave, it's like lava. How many ever had, like, well, maybe you didn't have to do this. I had some TV dinners when I was in school. And man, I put it in there, put it in high, and they weren't that great. But they always had a little piece of right. What was that called? Yeah, apple crisp. Man, you'd be eating apple. Oh, man, it'd burn your, it'd be like liquid nitrogen. I don't know. And every time I knew it was hot, but I still did it anyways. Is anybody like me? How many ever shut your own hand in your own car door? How many ever stuck your toes in your own spokes in your bicycle? Gosh, I was an idiot, I guess. I did all that. I remember going over my handlebars. I thought it was cool to put my feet on the front pegs or put a card in your thing and make that noise. I don't know. Anybody remember big wheels? I could never fit on like without the, but I used to take the seat off of it. And man, I rode mine till the wheel was flat. I thought it was fun. How about Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Battling Tops? Mousetrap? Anybody have a Rector set? How about just old-fashioned, just outdoor playing your own games, hide and seek? Remember when you had to use your own imagination? I swear when I was growing up, my family said, just go, and when the lights turn on, come home. Honest to God, there were times I thought, where did I go? I know I ate. I must have ate over somebody's house. I really did. Sometimes I'm like, wow. Like from, oh, I love summer. Did anybody couldn't wait till school got out? Oh, man. And that last 2 weeks before you had to go back, oh. Flashback memories here. What'd you guys talk about? Oh, I don't know. Memories. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll close with this. In Peter's life, remember the Lord spoke. He prophesied, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, he's going to now speak this. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but a ready mind. Notice now he's beginning to speak to other men and women ministers. And every minister that would come his way now, Peter now is a teacher of what he learned. From being a denier, now he's preaching the faith. Now let's make this personal to me. Pastor Tom, feed the flock of God which is among you. Don't do it out of filthy lucre, constraint, but willingly with a ready mind. And every single minister, that means you too, don't do the work for this. Do it this way. He now is now strengthening his brother. Isn't that so cool? God spoke a word to him in his most desperate hour. And now the fulfillment of that. When God gives a word in your life, time doesn't matter. He will fulfill the word spoken. Sometimes we got to get over ourselves and get over our emotions. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. If the story would have ended like this and Peter did what Judas did, the story would have been over. But no, he stood through it. He took those prayers and he walked, and the Lord spoke a word, and sooner or later he believed that word spoken. I love it. He's now a world changer. And did Peter ever guess that 2,000 plus years later we'd be talking about him in a service? The resurrection changed his life. Look at verse 3 in 1 Peter 5. Neither as being lords over God's inheritance, but examples to the flock. Every pastor needs to learn this verse. I've seen a lot of lords in the pulpit, but few examples. My job is not to be lord over you, but to be an example of the flock. You don't worship me. I'm just a man like you. Now you show respect for the calling. That's different. And you all do that. I don't have a problem with anybody. But too many times people want people to be lords over them. It's not to be examples to the flock. Peter says that, look, this is the way it should be. This is the way that God has been to me. Look at verse 4. That when the chief shepherd, who is that? When Jesus appeared, he will give you a crown of glory that doesn't fade away. For those who have been faithful in this arena, God will even give a reward for that. And let me say this to you. Can I say this in love? The pastor deserves a reward. Because it's not a job you just pick up. It's not a job that you're just like, I can't do nothing else, so I'll do this. It's truly a calling. And your calling will be tested. There is no doubt about it. And if every pastor is honest, there's been times where he's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Can I just be that honest? And then you just go home, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me. Lord, amen. God, I'm back. I'm ready to go. Can I be that vulnerable, that honest? That's reality. But you just keep going, amen? For Peter, he denied, he felt miserable, he cried it out. The Lord says, listen, I knew what you were going to do, and I'll make sure I'll give you a word. I'll even tell the angels to make sure he tells you. Because you're going to strengthen your brethren. Who knows what the Lord's going to do in all your lives? Who knows who you're going to meet, who you're going to influence? The Lord just needs to speak in your situation. And when he does, listen, don't be all broken up like you can't. No, you can do it. You can be miserable one day and God can change it all. But you got to get out of that. Satan desired to sift him and the Lord knew it, but God prayed for him. The sifting was still there, but his faith remained. Like all of you, your time, your faith may be tested. Don't give up on God. He's the only thing that is good. I know many, and I know people that are my dear friends in the ministry are no longer in the ministry. They took a blow and it separated them. And sometimes I grieve over them. Lord, touch them. Lord, work in them. You haven't given up on them. But when people lose hope, they lose energy. Amen? And you all know hurt people. And it's true. How many knows the pastor has flesh too? I encourage you to pray for your pastor. It's not that I'm weak in his areas. Don't get me wrong. But I want you to pray for me. Amen? I covet your prayers. Man, cover me in prayer. Amen? Bathe me in prayer, baby. Give me a double dose. But we need to strengthen one another. Notice Peter now is speaking a word for every single one of the disciples. They all read it. Even Paul read it. And look down all the ages. Here's the way I want you to be. Strengthen. Man, what a great word. The resurrection changes us all. It changes us all. For Peter, it's a great witness. In your life, you still prove that Jesus is real. I can see him alive in your life. Shows the resurrection is real. Now, if you're in this room and maybe you've had a situation where like, man, I wish I could change that. Well, you can't. You bear the scars, but I'm moving from that. Right, right, amen? Yes, amen? And when somebody reminds you of that, come again. Say, nope, that's in my past. Never have it. Well, let's make it a prayer thing. No, it's a done thing. It's a done thing. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. So guess what he's going to accuse you of? Even things you didn't do, but he's going to be an accuser. Come against that in Jesus' name. But walk in that power. Say, you know what? I once was this way, but now. Sometimes if you need to cry it out, say, get it all out. Boom. Be honest. Men, you need to humble yourself too. If you're wrong in a situation, admit it. Say, I'm wrong. I want to change. I believe personally, ladies like it when they can see that strength under control. When we're prideful, we miss it. That pride zone between being a newbie and a mature is a dangerous place. Lord, teach me. Help me. It becomes the most destructive place too because you end up hurting others because you don't know any better. Well, that's good preaching today, Pastor. Can we do it? Could Peter ever guess that he could look down his life? Wow, Lord, you did that for me. Imagine him coming to service in the synagogue. Today I'm going to talk about strengthening you. Wow, whole life came alive. Everything Jesus promised came to pass. If you feel like you've let the Lord down, I'm here to tell you, he knows you. Deal with it and move on, because he's forgiven you. If you were the one that denied him three times, he would have called your name out. Tell Jim, tell Sue, tell Bob. None of us are outside that grace. But now that you are changed, I need this church to walk carefully amongst the new sheep. Tender. Be tender-hearted. For the mature saints, I need you to carry yourself as such. When you were a child, you spoke like a child. But I can't go to my brother, oh, look at you. You're looking so sweet today. Oh. I can't talk to him like my pet. I talk to him like a man. Now, we can have fun and joke, but I talk to him as a man. When you were a child, you spoke like one. But when you became adult, you spoke like an adult. One of the hardest things for most people is to grow up. Because growing up has responsibility. And no one can take that but your own. You bear your own weight. You bear your own. Amen? Is this good today? I want to ask you as we close, how many here have some painful memories you just need to put it under the blood? Stop dwelling, thinking, no, it's under there, I'm done. Be honest. I'm not going to judge, I'm going to love you. Anybody else? Got some memories? I'm going to put it under there. Okay. Secondly, how many ever felt like, man, can the Lord really use me? I know he's forgiven me, but can he really, can he do something like he did for Peter for me? How many ever felt like that? Well, I don't measure up. I don't talk like, I don't act like that. I'm not like that. I don't have that family. I don't have this. I don't have this. Okay? I'm here to tell you, he can make you a world changer. Because it's him who works in you and through you. I want you to believe that. It's him who works through you. Peter had to grab a hold of it. You will strengthen your brethren one day. Anybody else? Third thing is you want to mature in your faith. You're starting to recognize there's so much more in the kingdom. And you want to be prepared of what God's going to do in these last days. You want to walk softly amongst the young sheep, tender, but handle yourself maturely for those who are of age. How many here want to walk in that? And last here, I'm going to jump to the end road. One day you'll be like him, for you will see him as he is. How many want to have at the end of your time, you can look back and say, man, God has changed me. Yeah. That you could one day stand before, and I'm saying it has to be a pulpit, but you can look and go, wow, what he said, he brought to pass. That you can leave that for somebody else. Peter left that for Pastor Tom. 1 Peter chapter 5. You will leave something for somebody else sometime in your life. What legacy do you want to leave for your children? What do you want them to read and know of all men? What do you want them to receive from your life that you receive from the Lord? Because he's not coming back on April 23rd. I just read that in the paper. Jesus is coming back April 23rd. You know what that means? That person knows more than Jesus. Wow, that's pretty awesome. I got to meet that person. That person, number one ranking right there. Whoever that is, then Jesus. No man knows the days of the hour. We only can know the seasons. Come on, we need to be about our Father's business, not monkey business or foolish business. Amen? When he comes, he comes. I'm looking for it, but he'll come when he comes. When the Father does this, go get him, son, then you'll be tipped off. Hallelujah. When the church still deals with this, it's so immature. Let's grow up in all things, church. Amen? You enjoyed this morning? If you would, lift your hands towards heaven. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Now, whatever area you need the Lord to work in, ask him. Whether it's to have these memories just removed, whether it's to feel like the Lord can use you, let him speak a word in that. Whether it's to strengthen others, or even to leave a legacy for others to follow. Ask him, Lord, he hears you. Or maybe it's time to get your life right. Call on him, the Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Save me. Change me. Make it an altar right here in your heart. You have not because you don't ask. ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. He's already prophesied over your life, I give you a hope in the future. It's time to walk in it, to walk in His ways. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one in strength and power. And God, work with deep within us that our life testifies of the resurrection. Just as Peter's did, and the week before Mary Magdalene's did, our life testifies of the resurrection. Bless your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your time today. God bless you. Have a great week. Thanks for enduring the weather.